Hey, good evening, everyone. Thank you all for joining us in tonight on Monday Night Raw, the Monday Night Call with your Sunday Morning Breakfast family. So excited for everyone to be here tonight as we continue on with Take No Hostages. It's been a great, great week, and I know that it's going to be a great wrap-up tonight. So Take No Hostages. Let's go ahead and welcome in for this evening our leader, Mr. Tullius Carr. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Miss Candy.
How are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing wonderful. What about yourself?
I am as well.
Good deal, good deal. Well, let's go ahead and dive into the call, if you don't mind opening us up with prayer, and then we'll get started with our SMB Monday Night Raw.
All righty. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come before you tonight, Lord. We thank you for each and every person who has been gathered here with us tonight, Lord. We thank you in advance for the word, for your continued guidance, Lord, for your correction, for your direction, for just the move of your Holy Spirit, Lord. We are gathered here tonight, and we give you thanks and honor you in advance. And, Lord, we pray that tonight, as we are meeting here together, that we are all open to receive exactly what you have prepared for each and every one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, so let's go ahead and get started. Miss Candy, I'm actually going to start it. Now, this week, y'all, we have been talking about taking no hostages. This whole week, awesome call, awesome calls, plural. And we just want to close it out on tonight, but keeping it in mind at all times. Miss Candy, I'm going to ask that you give us your recap real quickly.
Certainly. This week has been really, really great, and I would say one of the things that really has stuck out for me is what it means to actually be a hostage or be held captive. A lot of times we think about it in terms of physical captivity, but we had the opportunity to talk this week about how it's not just being physically held hostage or physically imprisoned, but it's the things that happen and hold us captive in our minds. One of the things that we talked about this week was how in the Bible it commands us to visit with those who are in prison. And that was a great opportunity for us to talk about not just going and physically visiting with people in a prison, but visiting those people who are in prison in their minds, making sure that we're lifting them up, making sure that we're sharing the love of God with them, even if they are not physically in prison, but that they are being held captive in their thoughts. And any thought that is going against God or not lining up with the Word of God is one that can leave you imprisoned. And also talked about last night just the spirit of it and making sure that we have the spirit behind what God's word is, not just being able to recite the word, but understanding the spirit and his intent behind it. So those were a couple of the things from this week, Take No Hostages.
Well, thank you for sharing that, y'all. And we're going to get started. Y'all know how we do it. We have our SMB Monday Night Raw. And y'all just heard, you know, the Take No Hostages. Okay, the recap. Can be some powerful information. So please, even if you want to just sit down, sit back, relax, listen, but have a question or two for our callers. I have a question or two. Okay, and you do that by pressing *5, and you know we'll get to you with your question. It may be something that somebody else may have. Just speak for them. Y'all got it? Good. Now make sure that everybody's in a quiet area. It's very important. Okay, we're on a national call now. Make sure you're in a quiet area. All right. So with that being said, we have with us on this evening Mr. DJ. How are you, Mr. DJ?
I am wonderful. God is still in charge.
That's right. That's right. Typically, we say that after a loss.
That's right. That's right. God is still in charge.
I'm talking about Falcons now.
That's right. God is still in charge. You can't miss what
that's right.
You cannot miss.
And we have with us joining Mr. DJ on this evening, Miss Lisa Thomas. Miss Lisa, how are you?
Hello. How's everybody doing tonight?
We're doing great. What about yourself?
Amazing. Abundantly blessed.
Good deal. Good deal. So we're going to get started with the call. We have some email questions. And let's sit back, relax, and get to these questions. And Miss Lisa, you know, primarily what we always do, we start with the guest with the first email question, then I follow up with Mr. DJ. So if you are ready, we can go ahead and get started. So here we go. The first email question, okay? The first email question, Miss Letha, no disrespect, we're going to start with Mr. DJ with this one. Okay, I know what I just said, but the email was directly for Mr. DJ. The email question, Mr. DJ, said, did the New England Patriots take the Atlanta Falcons hostage last night?
Did the New England Patriots take the Atlanta Falcons hostage?
Oh, no.
Yeah, they did.
There it is. Just a sense of humor, y'all. That's good. But the honoree. So here we go. Miss Candy, I'm actually going to let you start with the first email question for Miss Letha, and then we'll get to Mr. DJ.
All right. So the first question for the evening says, can a person, I'm sorry, it just blanked out on me. The question, can a person truly live a carefree life if they haven't accepted Christ as their Savior?
No. No. The true freedom, in my opinion, the true freedom of knowing Christ and loving Him and having that faith to walk in this world, not have to be of this world, you can't get that kind of freedom unless you truly believe and truly understand and truly just know and have faith in Christ. It has to start there, because you will always go backwards. We go backwards as people in our minds because things will plague you in your mind. But when you have freedom of spirit, your spirit is free when you realize, you know what, everything that I think I can worry about, He died upon the cross for me for. So why am I worried? Why am I stressed? I'm going to have faith in everything that He said He did for me. And that takes you so much further than just trying to walk and be free on your own.
Good deal. Mr. DJ. Ms. Candy, repeat that for Mr. DJ, please.
Certainly. Can a person truly live a carefree life if they haven't accepted Christ as their Savior?
Okay. First of all, I want to say I totally agree with what she just said, but I say yes. I say yes, they can live a carefree life. Now, the reason why I say yes is because if they don't care, I mean, if you don't have God in your life, obviously you don't care. That's the only way you can do that and be that way. Because a true Christian cannot afford to live that way. We care. The basis and foundation of our principles is love, and that shows that we care. So if a person believes in Christ, you definitely are going to care. Now, there's a difference between care and worried. People who are, for better lack of knowledge, I don't want to say ignorant, but if you don't have that knowledge, let's just say, for instance, a baby has not come into himself mentally yet. So a baby does not worry about that big old dog across the street with no leash on it. A baby does not worry about getting into a pool and no one taught it how to swim. So that's carefree. Now, when you're talking about worry is after you have already received knowledge. And after you have received knowledge, you should be worried, yes, because you know you need to do the right thing, and that's to follow Christ.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Good deal, good deal. Ms. Candy, what you got to add to that?
I would say I agree with both. And, of course, it's always thinking about it from the perspective of if you don't know Christ, then you can have a certain perspective about things and you think that, oh, you know, I have this carefree life, it's fine. But then once you do come into the knowledge of Christ, that's where you have that point to where you understand that you weren't actually living that carefree life before. You were living something, but it wasn't something that you should have been aspiring to. But until you come into the knowledge of Christ, then you don't know any better one way or the other. So it could be carefree in a sense, but once you know better is when you get to the point to where you're like, wait a minute, you know, what was I really, really doing when I was living in that way?
Amen.
Good deal, good deal. Thank you for that. Let's get to the next email question. Okay, here we go, y'all. Now, I do want to clarify this. Y'all know what a hostage is, correct?
Yes.
Correct.
Yes.
All right, so we all know what a hostage is, a person who has been seized, okay, involuntary, pretty much, right? Okay. Well, synonyms for hostages: to be held captive, a prisoner, inmate, detainee, victim, abductee, prey, human shield, pawn, instrument. Those sound kind of familiar, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
All right. So the next email question leads right to this. It says, is it possible to walk with God and be unable to identify who the real victims are? I'm going to start with you first, Mr. DJ.
He said, is it possible to walk with God
and be unable to identify who the real victims are?
Mm-hmm. I'll say this. If you are walking with God, you don't have any worries if you're walking with God. As far as identify the victims, I'm going to say yes, it is possible for you not to be able to identify all of the victims, because hostages can be more than just physical. It could be mental. And you're not God. You can walk with him, definitely, and he can guide you, but it is possible for you to miss some victims here and there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because the fact remains, you're not God. You can definitely walk with God, but you're not God. So, yes, it's possible for you to miss them. But now, I'll tell you this. If you really want to know what's difficult, try walking without them. And then you yourself won't know that you are the victim.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. So I believe it's possible. Yeah, I believe it's possible.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Ms. Letha, what about you?
I totally agree.
Okay.
No need to add anything further. He said it all. Perfect.
He said it all? Yeah, that's what it is. Is it possible to walk with God and be unable to identify who the real victims are, Ms. Candy?
I would say if you are spiritually inclined, then no. And I think that what it hinges on is walking with God and being spiritually inclined at the same time. God is always walking with us, but we don't always sense that. We don't always know that because we're not always in tune with him. But if we're walking with him, if we are spiritually inclined, then I think that we would know because we're walking with him spirit to spirit. And in that time frame, we're seeing things in the way that he sees things. So if it's, again, it goes back kind of to that first question. It depends on where you are in your position with him. Because you can be walking and he's walking alongside you and you not even know that if you're not spiritually inclined. But if it's a situation where you're in a relationship with him, you are open with him, he's open with you, and vice versa, then you would have to be tapped into what he's tapped into.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good information. Let me add my two cents. Can we, is it possible to walk with God, be unable to identify who the real victims are? I would wholeheartedly agree with what Mr. DJ said. And here's the reason why. All these were sufficient answers, just to let you know. But here's the reason why. We can walk with God, but there again, we're not God. You can have two set of eyeballs, right? You have, one set of eyeballs, one set. But you have a left and a right. If you cover up your right, they both work, in harmony, right? You can't see everything out of your left without their, when their right is covered up. Mm-hmm. Correct?
Yeah. Correct.
Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ, there was God in the flesh. But because he had his flesh wrapped around him, they say, when is God coming back? He said, no man knows how. Right. Does that mean he wasn't walking with God?
Mm-mm. That's right.
Do you not understand? The Bible says, when you entertain strangers, Lord have mercy. Entertain them wholeheartedly with love. Because you never know. You never know. You never know. Look at the word no. Hold on. I'm a Christian. God is talking to the Christian body, not to the world.
Right.
The world don't listen to him. So why would he waste it? Okay. So he's talking to the Christian body. He said, when you Christians entertain strangers, make sure you do it with love. Because you never know. You and me, but you still never know. I know who they are, but you never know when you're entertaining an angel.
Mm-hmm.
That means when you approach people, if you're approaching them in love, whether they are a victim or not, I don't need to know that.
Right.
I just know that love cures all things. So they could be a victim, or they could be the one that's victimizing.
Amen.
Did y'all hear me? Because everything that God knows, we would never know.
Amen.
Just like you, Mr. Miyagi, know everything. Daniel's son don't know everything you know. You taught him everything he know. Huh? You and your kids have a great relationship. But that don't mean that you let them in on everything, do you? As they get older, you kind of let things out the bag and you help them out. But y'all have a great relationship since day one. Do you let them know everything from day one?
No.
You see, a lot of times when we tend to know it all, we tend to think we God and we don't need him.
Amen.
So if I can identify who the victims are, then I'll start walking around with a puffed up chest and say, come here, DJ. I say, come here, DJ. I got to help you out. See, all them, God to help you out. I ain't say nothing about God. Then I start to think I'm God. But if I just love DJ regardless of what DJ going through, DJ going to know it's God because he going to get on his knees at night and say, God, you sent somebody my way and they ain't even know. But they love you.
Right.
I need everybody to be in a quiet place. Everybody, please. Okay. Y'all
I got a question.
Yes,
a question for you, Mr. Parker.
Of course.
So basically what you're saying is 12 people walked with Jesus and none of them knew who that one person was.
Come on.
That's
they didn't even know who – they didn't – they didn't know Jesus was God in the flesh, y'all.
And he didn't even know. That one person, Judas, didn't even know. He even asked, is it me?
They ain't know. Huh? Ain't that something?
Yes, sir.
I don't know. That's right. Did Jesus know? God knows all. It's possible. But see, his infinite wisdom and his power, okay, whether it allowed him to identify the victim or not, he still loved on Judas. See, if we know, the question was, here's the email question again. The question said this. Is it possible to walk with God and be unable to identify who the real victims are? In other words, y'all know us in our finite minds. We'll start to say what somebody deserves and what they don't deserve. In other words, we attach the word real. You said the email question said who the real victims are. In other words, we'll start to subsidize. In other words, I'm not going to pray for the fake victims.
Right.
Y'all get it? Because, you know, if somebody's faking, we ain't playing with them. We'll say they don't deserve God because they're playing with God.
Right.
So even real victims, or whether they're real or fake victims, even with the ones who seeking attention, you know who you have people that play victims? They're seeking attention. That means they're still a victim for real.
Right.
Wrong. Y'all know how. Y'all, we done played victims before, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
You see it all the time, Ms. Lisa. You know, when people say stuff like, you know, yeah, I'm married, but we being separate, we separated. I ain't happy. They playing the victim role. Oh, Lord. I ain't starting with you tonight, Mr. Carr. I ain't called for that now. That's playing a victim role. The reason why it's playing a victim role is because you need to take that over God, not with somebody you don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
But what you're doing is you're trying to lay out something for them, for your benefit. Because the word separated means something to people in the world today, but in heaven it don't.
Right.
And because we use catchy words, separated, we use catchy words, separated, we play the role of a victim. But see, here's the real thing. Okay? We don't have to play that role. All you got to do is say, I'm married. I cannot talk. See, the thing is, we done overstepped the boundary already, so we have to say separated.
Yes, sir.
Huh?
I know it.
You. So the one who's, you know, with the agenda, do understand. They can see themselves as a real victim because I'm not happy. But what does happy and marriage got to do with each other? Because God can say he's not happily married, but I do believe that the Bible says that he said he's married to the backslider. So what makes him happy?
Yes, sir.
Oh, Lord. Oh, y'all didn't want to hear that part of it, right? You think that God is happy when he used the word backslider? That means my mate doesn't follow my lead.
Mm-hmm.
But he never said, I'm separated. Let me entertain you, Satan. God tries his very best to make his marriage work. So, being able to identify the real victim, it really doesn't matter, real or not. Because if we start engaging in what's real and what's not real when it comes to this type of topic, I'm telling you, we'll pray for them and not for them. Y'all think I'm lying? The world has held people hostage forever. They have, boy, I got to say this. Can I say this, Mr. DJ? I'm going to say it anyway. The
yes,
world
sir.
Has held hostage forever. In other words, if Mr. DJ's apology does not fit my agenda, if it doesn't seem authentic, I do not accept his apology because it's no longer real. In other words, I'm going to keep him captive.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all see it all the time on sports, right? Somebody do something bad. Lord have mercy. That's the hand they fan with. You're a $1 million slave. Because as soon as somebody do something wrong that somebody else don't like, the people in power say that apology wasn't real. That's why you see the athletes who do wrong, they sit up there and turn around 360 to try and appease their master. I thought my I'm sorry was good enough. Pause. We don't even have to go that far. You got people today. You may even have done this. We're talking about who the real victim is. You say God knows my heart, so you don't even get on your knees and say, God, forgive me. You just say he knows my heart. But yet, let somebody do you wrong. You're going to say either he buy me a whole house, ring, car, everything in the world. She buy me all this. She got to let me know she really or he really sorry. But when you do it to God, you say he know my heart. So who's the real victim? Y'all quiet all of a sudden. Why is that quiet?
That's true.
Because we live in a world full of hypocrisy and we the hypocrites? Who's the real victim? You see what I'm saying? With the email question?
Yes, sir.
Play that game. We don't even ask God for forgiveness, but we push it on him and say, he know my heart. But let somebody do it to you. They got to climb over a mountain, go through a valley, and everything else to prove that they, I'm sorry, was real. And then you say, if they really, Ms. Letha, was sorry, they wouldn't do it again. So what that makes you, since you have kept on sinning, and you tell God, I'm going to keep on sinning, what that make you?
Yes, sir.
We don't like to identify with hypocrites. Ms. Candy tell me all the time. You make people look at themselves, they're not going to be calling in, Mr. Carr.
Looking in the mirror.
People don't like to be evaluated. Mega churches don't challenge people. Mega churches, see, you really think that many people going to that church to hear the true word of God, or are they just going to that church to get to lift me up, make me feel good? Oh, they quiet. Take no hostages, right? You really think that if Jesus was the head coach and everybody, that many people came to that church and they left out without power, what would they say about the head coach? The real word of God causes people to pull back. You know why? Because they never want to see themselves the way that God sees them.
Yes, sir.
We only want to wait to the day of judgment for that one and roll the dice. That's not about you, huh?
Yes, sir.
Because I bet you if we was cackling about everybody else on this phone, well, we'll have over 300 people on this phone. But as soon as you put yourself on a spotlight and evaluate your fingerprints, we don't like to do that. Huh? When in reality, if we walk with God, identifying who the real victims are? Shouldn't we be able to identify ourselves then? True?
True.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Let's get to the next email question. Let's get to one of our email questions from a caller. One of the callers, go ahead and ask Mr. DJ and Ms. Letha a question, please.
Good evening, caller. Go ahead with your question for the evening.
Okay, my question is, can a Christian be held hostage by the sins of their loved ones?
Can a Christian be held hostage by the sins of their loved ones, Ms. Letha?
I would say yes and no. Everything in Christianity, and this is my opinion, will depend on where you are in your walk. Because as a true Christian, what's going on with others will cause you to pray for them and encourage them not to take it on. But sometimes we get in a position where we're coming into our Christianity, and before we get to our fullness, we start reaching out, and instead of being that encouragement and being that prayer warrior, we become that judge. So it's a thin line. I would say yes and no.
Okay. Mr. DJ, what you got?
I would say no. I'm going to say no because no weapon formed shall prosper.
Okay.
You can't, if I'm a Christian,
You can't make me a hostage. Only I can do that by allowing you to make me a hostage, by allowing you to get to me. And when I do that, that's when I have taken my eyes off the Word of God. That's when I have listened to you more than my Father and allowed you to come in and deal with that. And this is prime example, and some people may disagree with me, but Adam and Eve.
Uh-huh.
You know, Adam had a direct order from our Father. Everything was fine, and first thing folk wanted to go do is blame it on Eve. You know, oh, Eve did this. Everything was fine until that woman came in there. No, no. You, what about your own responsibility as a man? That's the creator of not just the universe, of you, which means that you are responsible for what he said do. Now, I don't care how good the package look or whatever, but you can't sit up there and just put that all on the woman and say, well, she influenced me. She did this. That's my spouse or my mate. We got to be about our Father's business, period, and stand up as men and women and be responsible. So I say no.
Okay. Miss Candy, what you got?
I feel conflicted. Mr. DJ got me over here like, well, can I have the question one more time, caller?
Yes. Can a Christian be held hostage by the sins of their loved ones?
I'm going to go with, see, mine wants to be a yes or no, too, because I agree with the way that Mr. DJ put it, in the sense of, if I allow you to get to a point to where what you're doing or whatever has gone on is now controlling my thoughts, then yes. But then that's indicative of the position that I'm in at that time. So I'm going to go with yes, because I can be a Christian who has taken my eyes off the prize, and now I'm allowing either you or whatever is going on with you to hold me captive, as opposed to knowing and focusing on God.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Anybody want to chime in, one of my callers out there?
Mr. Carr, I have one more point.
Uh-huh.
If you do something heinous to one of my family members, okay, I don't care if it's my mom, dad, or somebody, and that may cause me to be very, very, very angry with you. Now, if I go seek revenge, let's just say you shot my dog. Now I'm finna go kill your cat. I can't do that. And I can't say that you are holding me hostage. I have to allow you to hold me hostage, because God says that that's not what we're supposed to do. Vengeance is his. So again, I have to be responsible. Now if I go shoot your cat, I'm going to jail. I can't tell the judge, hey, well, he shot my dog. And the same way with God. If you don't follow his word, if you don't do what he tells you to do, and I'm not saying it's just so simple, but you have to stay prayed up, and you have to not let go of his hand. It's easy to get distracted, yes, but actually doing what you do, only person that's going to be accountable for that is you, if you do it. So that's why I said, I still say no.
Okay. Good deal. Did anybody chime in, Star 5, any caller?
No, sir.
Okay. They puzzled too, huh? That's a good question. Great question, actually.
And it was a good question.
Mm-hmm. Pretty good, huh, Miss Lisa? She still there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Carla, can you ask that question one more time? Let me.
Oh, yes, I can. Can a Christian be held hostage by the sins of their loved ones?
Can a Christian be held hostage by the sins of their loved ones? It is a yes and no answer. And the reason why I say it's a yes and no answer, and hear me out, it's a yes from the eyes of the one who holds the individual hostage. It's a no from the Christian's point of view, because physically you may have me hostage, but spiritually you don't. In other words, it may have seemed to the king that Daniel was held hostage, but to Daniel it wasn't. Okay, let me give you another one. It may have seemed to authority that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was held hostage, but to them, they wasn't. It may have seemed that Jonah was the problem, and very well was, and that I'm going to throw him out because I'm not going to let his sin rock this boat. But the well took him where he needed to go in the first place. But right. To God, it wasn't. The Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but in the end it leads to destruction. Can the sins of your loved ones hold you hostage? Well, it may have seemed, because God so loved the world, meaning his family, we are one body, we are family. See, the sins of the world became God's sin. Oh, y'all didn't hear me. Y'all know about generational curses?
Mm-hmm.
Your mama and your daddy, your great-grandma, see, their sins become your sins.
Mm-hmm.
To the naked eye.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Lord have mercy. To the naked eye. But see, there's power that the world don't understand. So it seems that their sins will hold you hostage because you are uneducated, because they was uneducated. But they don't know about a sophisticated education that don't come by way of curriculum that man can teach properly. I know I lost a couple of people on that. See, the Bible cannot be articulated by man properly. This is why it becomes false religion. Lord, have mercy. The Bible has to be taught by God properly. When it's taught from God to a receiver that has good soil, this is where spiritual growth happens, Mr. DJ. The reason why a lot of times we piddle-pad and we never grow in God is because, see, we're held hostage. We reproduce the same sins that our loved ones had. We play church. Meaning you got the Logos, but don't have the Rhema. You have the written. This is why you say, well, I say that in the Bible. Do you really got to see it in the Bible, or should you know it in your heart? Not by how you feel, but by the revelation of God. Can the sins of your loved ones hold you hostage? If you're not in God, they can. This is why a lot of people don't want to be black, because they think that black is a sin. So you think you are held captive. You are a pawn. You are a victim. This is why I can't get a good paying job. Well, when you're in God, you're not held hostage. Because you're saying, well, I know and I appreciate, although I don't need the best paying job, I don't need that anyway. Because if I had it, maybe I wouldn't depend on God like I do. Just maybe. But our sins became God's sins, and when you truly love someone, if you see someone, see, when God say go visit them in prison, remember that, Miss Tiana, Hebrews 13:3? He didn't say go visit them, to leave with them still in prison. Mm-mm. When God went places, some things happen, right? So just because my loved ones, see, loved ones don't mean your family, natural family, it means your family, spiritual family. Just because your loved ones have loaded your plate with sin, can it keep you hostage? No. The thing is, I'm going into a foreign territory. I'm going to where they are held hostage, and I'm about to see, the Bible says, who God set free is free indeed. So if you be a follower of Christ, if he set people free, what's going on with you? In other words, you got to go to places where people are kept hostage and free some things. In other words, I don't mind at first starting off as a hostage, but I know who's in me. We won't be a hostage for long, will we?
Amen.
I don't think y'all hear me. Because, see, a lot of times we want to rid ourselves of our family name, rid ourselves of where we come from, rid ourselves because that's just not a good name. What makes it not good? I don't mind being on the block in the hood. Okay, so I'm supposed to be penalized and kept held hostage from that? No, I'm going to start in the middle of the hood and create something great. I'm going to show you what hostages who are weak do versus what hostages. See, I was a hostage, but God put me in the place like Daniel to be a hostage because he needed something to get in the middle of it and rise.
Amen.
Yeah.
Would it be a miracle if there was no generational curses?
Mm-mm.
The miracle happens by way of you being in the midst of being a generational curse. But you're different. In other words, you're about to set a whole generation behind you free because they thought that because your whole family went to prison and their sins, you're going to be the next one to go. The worst thing they could have did was put Jesus in prison, because when he was literally in prison, something happened. I don't think y'all hear me. Jesus went to hell not because of his sin, but because of ours. That's the worst thing that Satan, see, he didn't play his hand right. That's the worst thing that he could have did, because when he went to hell, he took some keys, he busted wide open. Now what? See, you got to be the example. You got to be the example. A lot of times we want to shun, or we want to depart, or we want to separate from people who have hostage-like tendencies, and they, you know, we say that, well, they're supposed to be in that type of situation, or they, you know, look at them, they've done nothing but wrong. God loves that type of resume. As a matter of fact, that's why he loves you and I, because our resume ain't good.
Amen.
Y'all see it?
Yes.
Uh-huh. So can your loved ones' sins may keep you hostage? Possible. But in the same token, it's not going to keep you there. God probably have you in this time and day and age for a reason. I know you reconstructed in your mind all the time. What if my mom and daddy was this and that? What if my family had this and that? And you struggle with that? But God have you there for a reason. Success is not predicated about a statue according to man. Success is whether you make it to heaven or not. And the reason I bring up success is because typically we don't want to be around unsuccessful people. So typically we don't want to burden. We don't want to shoulder what people who are unsuccessful are going through. But when you love people, it doesn't matter to me that they're hostage. Put me in their hostage situation, God. The Bible says, consider yourself. Put me where they are. Huh? As a matter of fact, we love, see, when there's somebody we love and we think they're doing good, no matter somebody just did good, Julio Jones, you love Julio, so Julio can go to the club. Guess what? You going to the club with Julio. They ain't even in your character. So I'm saying, in the same token, when you love people, if they're going through it, you're going through it. The Bible clearly says to follow God, the master suffered, surely you will. God did not sin not one time, but was thrown on the cross because of our sins. He suffered for us. So if we are to be like him, you better get ready to suffer for your loved ones.
Amen.
Now, if you can't suffer for your loved ones, then probably ain't the place for you. Y'all know this, right?
Yes, sir.
Please be some deep answers, but it's necessary. It is very necessary. Yes, you can suffer. And when you really love, see, when you got it, you don't mind suffering, even if you don't have it. Man, you know what they say, a dog loyal? If a dog owner down, you know that dog will sit right there with that owner. Do you know that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, why is it that animals got better instincts than we do?
Amen.
You know what that says to me? Sin is a learned behavior. The longer we keep it around, the more we learn of it. Oh, I'm sorry, y'all didn't catch that? That means the flesh I'm talking about. This is why the Bible says crucify it on a daily basis. It's okay. I don't mind. If they don't like Miss Letha, guess what? They ain't going to like me either. But why should I separate from Miss Letha? I understand that her record ain't good. But I can also say, hold on, I got a bad record too. Then people look at me crazy. Dang, Mr. Carr, you willing to speak up for that? Of course I am. But then weak people not willing to speak up for those who are hostages. You know why? Huh? Because you don't want to be associated. In other words, we get fearful. In other words, we start to deny God. That's why some of your loved ones you don't want to be around. Because they don't look the part. They don't have what they call good hair. They drink too much. They curse too much.
Yes.
You don't want to be around them. You only want to be around them when it's beneficial, when you're in the hood and you need hood backing.
That's right.
Candy, I don't want to hear the truth, huh?
Yes, sir.
Huh? That's why you say leave some of them at home. When? You don't leave them at home when you're in that situation, what you need to get out of. You leave them at home when you're around a group of people that you don't want to expose them to because you will become embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
But see, when it's authentic, God ain't never leave you out of the equation. He took on you being a hostage. He knew you was a hostage, and he still came to set you free. Thank you for Moses. Moses said, I ain't leaving without God's people. Lord, have mercy. I don't think y'all heard me. Moses put his stuttering self, he put his life on the line and said, I refuse to leave without God's people. First of all, God, you really want me to go talk to this powerful man? Moses came up under all kind of scrutiny. Hmm? This is why a lot of times we don't even want to associate with our own race. Because look at the stupidity that they've done. Well, don't stop at the news, huh? Because God can say, look at the stupidity you've done, too, by denying me. Y'all hear me?
Yes, sir.
Is that real, y'all? We got to stop thinking of ourselves. Yes, you can become a hostage because of the sins of your loved ones. But the thing is, if you got power on you, you got God on you, it's almost like, can you become broke because they broke? I don't mind being broke right now, but y'all didn't know I had a big bank account? So we won't be broke long. They put me here for a reason. They didn't know I had the money. In other words, they put me with you for a reason, cuz. Hmm? But they didn't know I had God with me. We're about to get up out of this situation. That's the attitude we should have. But the attitude that we have is that, shoot, this is my God, not yours. You better go find him. I'm going to pray for you, though. Sound about right, y'all?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right, here we go. Last email question. Anybody want to chime in with a question? Star 5 real quick. Nobody?
No, sir.
Okay. All right, well, I have one. And I'll start with you first, Mr. DJ, then Miss Letha. This is the last one. How can you discern between what's a real victim, someone who plays the role of one?
Hmm. A real victim and one who plays the role of one? The person that typically plays the role of one seems to be the victim all the time. When you help that person, when you free, if you're a slave, if you're held hostage or captive, and I come along and I free you, I unlock the door and say, come on, and you don't open that door, or even if I pull you out, then I turn around and you right back in that same place again, then you playing. You're definitely playing. You could be a real hostage and something's wrong with you, but the ones that typically play, meaning they are not portraying the same thing as a real victim, they want attention. And that's what it, and this is just my opinion, they want attention. And I think that's how you can discern between the two of them. If you really want something, it's just like a person that comes up and say, hey, I'm hungry. Can you buy me something to eat? And then you say, well, sure. Can you come around here and stack those boxes up by the trash can for me? And they say, that's okay. Or better yet, you say, okay, come on. And they say, give me some money for something to eat. And you say, why do you want better than that? Come let us sit down and have a meal together. When they say that's okay, then you weren't really hungry. So that's what I'm saying. You have to use your judgment and definitely your ears and your eyes, all your senses, but pray. And God will give you that spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That's the main thing. Just pray, and God will determine that for you or lead you in the right direction. Let me say it like that.
All right. Ms. Letha, what you got? Well, she's there, Ms. Candy? If not, I'm going to go ahead and go to you, Ms. Candy. What you got?
I just would say in the same vein as Mr. DJ, it's all about really thinking about the position that the person continues to be in, not the one that they're in for that moment, because anybody could be in a position and it might not right off the bat seem like they're really someone in need, but once you've offered them help, once they've been in a position where they can be free of whatever it is, if they keep going back to it, there could be something wrong with them, but there's something wrong with the picture of them not wanting to be free and not be in bondage. And you alluded to this the other night when you were talking about how sometimes people are told that they're allowed to leave the jail and they do something else in order to stay there because they've been institutionalized. They don't know anything else. So In that sense, you might think, well, they're not a real victim because they could have left. They could have been free, but they just didn't want to go out. Well, they don't know any other way. They are still a real victim because they've gotten to the point to where they can't see past being in prison. They can't see past being in a state where their mind is held captive. So I think we have to be careful because in our natural state, we might say, oh, you know, they're just fake and they're just doing this or they're just doing that. But a person who has spent 30 years, 40 years in prison and they are 60 years old, they spent most of their lives there. So in order for them to physically leave or even mentally break free of the same thing or the same mindset they've had for that long, that's very difficult. So I think I would say we just have to be very, very careful because it's not as cut and dry as, well, it seems like this person is doing this or it looks like this way, because it could very well be that they don't know any other way. And just because we know that there's a different way, it doesn't mean that they're not an actual victim.
Correct.
Gotcha. Okay.
And Mr. Carter, the real victim is willing to put God first and take those steps so that they won't become a victim again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would have to agree with both of y'all. I would say even what Mr. DJ just said, sometimes people are real victims and will not put God first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in society, you know, sometimes people have this sense of, I think we sometimes grow, it's the norm to feel sorry for themselves or for yourself, to throw pity parties, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And typically what happens is people really start to invite others in on that party. Y'all haven't heard it before, right? You poor thing.
Yes, sir.
Hmm? Poor little baby. Man, you done had a hard life. It's rough, huh? That's what we say, right?
That's right.
The struggle is real. Are you saying that from the point of, you know, playing the role of a victim? Or are you really a victim? You know how, what did, y'all see it firsthand. This is why we had this topic for the week, Take No Hostages. Omarosa, what did she say? Well, I'm a product of the ghetto. I came from nothing. Please do not play that role of a victim. Please. Can you really identify? Because, see, even though now with this being said, the question is, you know, how can we discern? Right? How can we discern a real victim from one who plays one? Well, here's the thing. Both of them still need love, and both of them still need a lot of prayer and God.
Yes.
Because the ones who play victims still have a problem.
Amen.
Anybody ever seen Rosewood? Remember when that lady, the white lady, played the role of a victim?
That's right.
And started a whole heap of foolishness between blacks and whites. It was already there. That's all they needed, huh?
That's all.
Y'all remember that? Y'all don't think she needed help? Remember Emmett Till? Here recently, the woman who came out and said he didn't touch her or anything like that? But
right.
She played the role of a victim for how long?
Lord
have mercy. So you got one who's a real victim, Emmett Till, versus the one who's playing the role of a victim. But even with that being said, you don't think that she needs God? Of course she does. Oh, it's hard to take now. It's hard because that's their flesh rise up. But the Bible says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Whether somebody's playing the role of a victim or they are a real victim, the discerning, see, you can discern between the two very easily. The problem, though, is you have to make sure that you remain in God to be able to do so. See, what will happen is, Mr. DJ just said it, Miss Candy, you'll start to tell people, because, see, you get it all the time. I promise you do. Y'all in ministry, y'all see what I'm talking about. People start asking probing questions. They're just trying to pick your brain. They're playing the role of a victim. Yeah, because these people keep on bothering me, or this, that, and other, or, you know, what you think about this? Oh, yeah, because I've been, see, they like, I'm trying, and I'm struggling, and I'm trying to get it, but I'm struggling with it. See, they play the role of a victim until you start holding them accountable.
Exactly.
Oh, Lord. Let the word of God shine light on things. See, accountability will make the real separate from those who playing. The word accountability, let me say it again, will make those who playing separate from those who really need accountability. Use it sometimes and you'll see what I'm talking about. Hmm? I had a hard day at work and this, that, and other, and I prayed about it, and you know, what scripture you got for me? I don't have one for you. You know why I don't? Because you know the word of God. Why are you playing victim? Oh. Mr. Carr, you can tell them people they're playing victim. If you got a bank account and you don't go open, I mean, get money out of it, what do you mean? Don't tell me you don't have the money. Just tell me you don't want to use the money.
Amen.
Don't tell me you don't have God. Just say you want a pity party before you get to God. Miss Candy is real. And people play the role of a victim all the time, especially in the church, for attention. You know how people say, oh, my ankle, and they wrap their ankle up, and it's the cool thing now because they want attention? Huh? Hello, somebody. Ain't nobody talking to me now.
That's right. Tell it.
Yeah, I know it's the truth.
Shout the weed, come off. And then stop, put the weed back on, and continue back shouting.
I'm done. You little weird kid. I know Candy's shaking her head. So let's go ahead and pray. Mr. DJ, go ahead and pray for
us. Dear Father, as we come to the close of another call, I want you to turn me down and turn you up, Father. We want to say thank you. Thank you for bringing us together at this appointed time, and pray that something said will get through, that it will get through and nurture us and for the edification of our soul. Help us to be able to retain it and reach back and pull others so that they can spiritually grow closer to you in your name. I pray. Amen.
Amen. Y'all have a great night. Make sure y'all call in on Wednesday for Bible study. Mr. DJ, I must share this with you. I had a conversation with someone last night, and they've been picking all the wrong teams all year long. And when they picked, they said, I'm going for Atlanta. They literally texted me and said, what's going on with your boys? I wasn't going for the Patriots. I said, that's not my boy. Oh, I thought you. But long story short, they was going for Atlanta. And because their team lost Dallas Cowboys, I said, uh-oh, DJ in trouble. Because they've been picking the wrong picks all year.
Oh, Lord.
And it's hell true. All right. But it is what it is. I ain't going to put that somebody on our blast. But y'all have a good night. We'll see y'all on Wednesday, Miss Brandy. See y'all then.
All right.
Good night.
Good night.